This afternoon we want to speak a word from John chapter 6.
Masanano tikambira na zama kuchokera pa book la Yohani chapter 6.
Verse 28 and 29.
Titsindika kwambiri pa verse 28 and verse 29.
Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered in verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent.
Tigonera kwambiri pa maverse awiri amene apetere 29. Pamene akuti, pamene anati kwa iye, tichite chiyani kuti tichite ntchito za Mulungu. Yesu anayankha nati kwa iwo, ntchito ya Mulungu ndi kuti mukhulupirire iye amene iyeyo anamtuma.
Our title is An Astonished Multitude.
Mutu otenga watu ndi khamu la anthu koma losaganiza bwino.
Witnessing the works of God.
Kuchitira umboni za ukulu wa Mulungu.
For people, wherever the gospel will go out, it will work astonishment. That is today the same. Wherever God's word is open and expounded in truth to the people, it works up confusion. Astonishment is something we witness, but we question how.
Tikati kuzunguzika pena ndikuti mwaona zinthu zina zikuchitika koma kana kumukhani mafunso kuti kodi zatheka bwanji.
Often working confusion in us.
Mwaona zinthu zimamaliza kana kumukhani ndiku mafunso ndi mbiri amene simupeza mayankhwa.
If you hear something's taking place on the other side of this village.
Tilekeze mutamva kuti kena kachika kuchitika kumudzi wina woyandikira.
Then you might be curious. But you're even more curious when you see people start to head that way. You say, what's happening? And you don't even know anything yet. What's happening? What's taking place? And just because others are walking there, you're going to follow. Even though you don't know what's happening. Maybe you hear rumors. But you're going to go investigate. Sometimes this works confusion, astonishment. You see? That's what happens when the gospel, the true gospel, comes to the people. Every time the Lord Jesus Christ came into a village or a coastline, it worked up curiosity. Astonishment. And it drew many people. Today is the same. We hope that as you've been drawn here today, this word might be blessed. But when you go to a place to see what's happening, your own eyes and that coupled with others who are talking are going to tell you what's going on. You're going to find out. Maybe there is something happening on the other side of the village where someone has been hurt or something has happened with an animal. Maybe there's a struggle with in the Shiri River with a crocodile and a cow. And you all go there to witness it.
And if you stay long enough, you will find out what the result
is.
And after this has all taken place, you might return home and you might be talking about it all day. Especially if you have witnessed it. And what about the gospel? What about the works of God? For they ask in 28th verse, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Why is that? What made them ask this question? Because they had witnessed, as it were, very strange things. They just seen that Jesus Christ fed 5,000 people. With 2 loaves of bread. 5,000 people. Something remarkable took place.
There.
You see, these people were very much like you villagers. As the gospel came into the villages, I know that if I came into the village and gave you all enough bread for everyone to be satisfied out of 2 loaves, you would also be astounded. So they were drawn to Jesus Christ. They came, think about it, 5,000 people. It was very much like the scenario I was explaining. The one was saying something, and another was saying something, and they all began to leave the village and gather around Jesus Christ. And I heard his words. And many people were so astonished. Could this be the Christ? And then he took bread and broke it into pieces and fed all 5,000. You see, they came. They listened to him speak, and they ate. But you know what? There's one thing they missed. Because they were not satisfied. They needed more. Something was missing. They come. They even speak about how wondrous this man is. About the wonders he's doing. They speak about the miracle of 5,000 men and women being fed. There's so much talk. So much discussion. Yet they ask a question. They find him on the other side. And they say, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? You see, they realize something. Though they've eaten, though they've come to worship, they are still recognizing that they are not working the works of God. What does that mean? How do we understand this? Their consciences and their heart was still testifying against them. Because you and me might come to worship. We might sing. We might come every Sunday. We might do good things in our community. We might read the Bible. We might be more religious than many other people. But your heart will testify that doing all of those things is not making you, giving you freedom. Why? Because the rest of your life is testifying, I'm not right with God. I'm not coming here to tell you nice stories. I'm coming here to tell you the truth. And the truth, says the Lord, will make you free. Let's think. And come with me. If I read the Bible and I come to worship every Sunday, I sing with my full heart. Why is it that my life is still bothering me? Why is it that I am not satisfied with maybe the husband that God gave me? Or the wife that God has given me? Why is my life such a chaos? Why is my family in so much enmity? Where does anger come from? Why is my life so messy? Why am I not happy? Why am I not satisfied? You see, this is something you're struggling with. Why is our community in such struggles? My brothers, my sisters, my family, many of us don't even talk to each other anymore. We can't agree. Marriages are broken. Children. Children are lost. At night time, many, many men are walking staggering because they're drinking too much. You see, because these people, they did come to Jesus Christ. And they looked. They were astonished. Maybe they were even singing. They were there so long. I want to tell you something. They were there for so long that it was past supper time. Hours and hours and hours. You see, so they had an interest. So it was not like they came and looked, then said, this is nothing, I'm going back home. they were saying, maybe this man has something to give us that we have never received. Maybe my life is going to change. Maybe things are going to get better now. They received bread. See, many of them, women, many of them didn't have a husband to give them food. So they seen in the Lord Jesus, this would be a good husband. You see? But now, they come to the other side and they want to stay with him. They are still amused. And now they say to him, when they found him, they're asking, where did you come from? Where did you come from? And they're asking this. Why? Why? Because they want to know where he lives. They want to be part of his church. There's something about this, about him, that gives them some security. And now they ask him, although they've already decided to follow him, they now ask him a different question. Now it's a totally different question that they have in mind. They say, we're following you. We want to be part of you. We will sing. We will even defend you. We'll fight for you. We'll do anything. They want to become a member of his church. Okay? But now there's one thing that's bothering
them.
How do we do the works of God? How do I change my life? How do I make myself better? The works of God are works, are holy works. They know, like you know, that God is perfect. So their question is, how do I become perfect? If I'm going to be a member, I need to be perfect. You see, they said they know God is perfect love. But how do I do that work? How can I be perfectly loving person? See, they're very confused. God is forgiving. But their conscience is saying, I'm not so forgiving. Lord, how do I do your works? They're not saying, our life is a mess. No, they're holding themselves together very well. But they know inside is crying out, how do I do this? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? We want to be the workers of God, the church of God. We'll follow you. We'll do what you say. But yet we're
feeling a little bit guilty. Because I sing in church. But some people, if they know what my heart is saying, it wouldn't be good. I come to church on Sunday and I worship. But it's a good thing most people don't see what I do in the darkness. Because if they know, they
will say,
"You're not right." Maybe these people thought, if the Lord knows who we really are, then He wouldn't want us following Him. So they said to Him, "Tell us the secret. Tell us the mystery. How do we be like you? How do we do your work?" You know what? Sadly, so many of these people, they wanted to be holy people. They wanted to be like God. That's not so bad. But they only wanted to do this for self-honor. Malawi is full of this. Men of God. Pastors. Prophets. All of these people who want to stand in front of you and get honor. And money. And greed. But don't want to tell you the truth. Because the truth is that me and you we're all the same under one condemnation. I am a sinner like you are a sinner. This is what they didn't understand. Their conscience was bothering them so much that they said, "How do we work? How do we do? What do we do? What is the key to good works?" You know why also? Because at that time, just like today, there was the Pharisees and the scribes. And they were very religious. And they were very zealous. But we know that they only did their good works to show men how good they were. When they went into the house or away from the people, they were not like that
anymore.
Many of them secretly had an extra woman. But as long as nobody knows, they wear a tie. You see, this is what was happening then. And it's happening now. And these people, they said, the way the Pharisees and the scribes say to do it, we're also not, and we're not, we can't be like them. They tell us to work with their rules and their regulations, and we just can't do it. So they said to the Lord Jesus, "What do you say? You give us advice now. How do we get better?" How do we work your works? How do we stay together as husband and wife? How do we do good to one another? How do we love our neighbor as ourselves? You see? This was quite a predicament they were in. They're intrigued, astounded at his doctrine. They've begun following him. But now they want to become good. Good citizens. You know that maybe you're beginning to realize that what they were experiencing, we in Malawi are experiencing the same thing. We're trying to go to church, which is good, and pray, fix things. It's all good. But that's not going to make us satisfied. It's not going to relieve us from the conviction, the soul conviction. Because you know that maybe in the village here, a husband and a wife can reconcile. Although it doesn't happen. But let's say it happens. You know what your next worry is? How long it's going to last before they're apart again. Because we are so terrible at being humble. And now they're saying, we're following Jesus. We're going to church. We want our life to change. We'll even make him king. We'll fight for him. But we're missing one thing. How do we become like him? How do we do the works of God? How are we going to love God above all? And our neighbor as yourself? How am I going to love my neighbor just as much as I love myself? This is where they get very confused. And Jesus Christ gives them an answer. And his answer, you may find strange. But yet his answer is an answer of the gospel. And if your heart is asking today, I go to church, I'm trying my best, but I'm not changing. How do I do the works of God? Then Jesus Christ is coming with the gospel to you today. He says, verily, verily, I say to you, unto you. Verily, verily means without doubt. He's saying, I'm not making this up. As sure as you see me standing here, this is the truth, he's saying. He says, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. I want to show you how glorious this gospel is. This sets people free. You know what he's saying? I want to tell you this. We would think the people should have been disappointed. the people, they just want to follow him. They're looking for happiness. They're looking for freedom. They're tired. Are you tired? They're sick. They have no hope. They're hopeless. Families are a mess. Relationships are a mess. You just want to follow him. Why would Jesus give such an answer?
He says,
verily, verily, you have not been following me because you saw my miracle, but because you got bread and were filled. What an alarm. What an alarm bell going off today. If we said the same thing to you, if we had to say this to you, you're not coming here today because you see the miracle, but you are coming here today for earthly or carnal comfort. The gospel is always truth. And we are maybe afraid to hear it. But I tell you, Jesus Christ means to say, have you come today because of the miracle? In the gospel that comes to you today, do you recognize a miracle? Or do you only see the bread and eat the bread and are filled? You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I mean this. Are you satisfied coming each week, Sunday after Sunday here? Are you satisfied from Sunday to Sunday that you say, I will, as you come back every Sunday, that there's satisfaction in that? If you sing each Sunday from the top of your heart, is that what makes you satisfied? If you are trying your best to be religious, does that satisfy you? If the pastor here gives some food each Sunday out of his scripture, is that satisfying? So that afterwards you go home and say, that was enough till next Sunday? If it's enough, that means you're missing a miracle. Because we preach to you today, not the filling nor the bread. The bread is compared to Jesus Christ. I am the bread of life, he said. I'm not preaching you a statue of Jesus. I'm not just preaching a Christ that was in history. I'm not preaching a historical Christ. We don't just preach a story so that you say, oh, it was such a nice story, I hope it. We have a new story next week. We are not preaching you a Christ Go ahead. We are preaching a crucified Christ. We are preaching a Christ who was buried. And we are preaching you a resurrected Christ. How do I be at peace with God in my heart, was these people saying? Because I know for sure that many of you, after you're done with church, that you have to say, that was nice, but I'm still anxious in my heart.
I
don't feel free.
And I'm still
not sure if I'm doing the works of God. Am I a child of God? Maybe that's what you're asking. Does God know me? Do I live for him? Does he live for me? Am I his child? Has he forgiven all my sins? Do I walk by faith? Do I live by faith? And then you have to look inside. And some of you, I hope all of you, when you look inside, you'll say, ah! You see, I'm not doing the works of God inside my heart. I'm such a wretch. If people would see in my heart, it's so ugly. You see? Now Jesus Christ was saying to them, you are filled. And that's all you want. Enough bread.
Bas.
And that will keep you coming back each Sunday. But Jesus Christ said, people, you are missing the miracle. What is the miracle? What's the miracle of the bread? We can't spend too much time in that, but I will tell you quickly. Two loaves of bread. And out of those two loaves of bread, everyone was fed. That means that out of a loaf of bread, more than 2,500 people ate from it. Can you understand? I can't. How is that possible? But it means this, that Jesus Christ, the bread of life, more than 2,500 people can eat from it in one time. And be filled. If you are a sinner, then the sinner beside you can be saved too. And if the sinner beside you can be saved, you can be saved
too.
That means old and young, women and men, Azungu and black, can be saved. Because one loaf of bread fed so many people. Jesus Christ and his righteousness is spread out to so many people. That's what they missed. They were eating the bread. And nobody was looking. Nobody was saying, from one loaf, 2,500
of them.
They were all sitting in circles. Eating. Their eyes were only at the basket. You know what they were worried of? That the basket would be empty before the
basket.
But you know what happened? There was 12 baskets left. They even missed that. You know what? If this church begins to see the miracle of Jesus Christ, the miracle of grace, the miracle of forgiveness of sins. If you, as if only one person begins to see the miracle by faith, it's going to spread. Because Jesus Christ came into this world to give himself a ransom for many. And he's saying here to convict the people. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat that endureth to everlasting life. He says, which the Son of Man will give you. If this village and this church begins by faith to behold the miracle of Christ, and believe, not outward, but in your heart, you will start doing the works of God. Not by your own power, but Christ will come and dwell in you. And by his power, you will begin to work the works of God. See, because everyone's trying to do something and be something, but there is no name given under heaven whereby we might be saved than Jesus Christ alone. It is Christ and Christ alone. Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Yes,
who is the Son of the living God. His righteousness is perfect. And yours is awful. We only own wickedness, hardness, enmity. But if we see with faith on the miracle of the cross and believe, he comes and gives us the bread of life and comes to dwell in us. And the glory of it, not just one of you. One bread gave 2,500 men food.
2,500.
So that this gospel and this miracle is to be preached to all. And if you see by faith Jesus Christ, and you receive him in your heart, the forgiveness of all your sins, you will not have to try to work anymore. It will come out of you. Out of your heart, which is the heart of Christ. you will work the works of God. And when people see you, they will not say, oh, there is so and so. But they will say, there is Christ. They won't see you. They will see Christ. Because your works will be Christ-like. See how many people understand this? Have you received the Savior Jesus Christ by faith? Have you been forgiven all of your sins? Or have you always only been coming to eat of the bread, but you miss the miracle? And today it's being preached to you. Jesus Christ didn't say this to them to make them more confused. He said this to them because he wanted them to believe and come to him by faith. And he says, they ask him, what do we do to do the works of God? And Jesus answers and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Mother, you don't have to work anymore. You don't have to prove that you're a good mother. Wives, you don't have to try to be a good wife so that your husband is pleased. You don't have to work anymore. This is the gospel. You don't have to do it. Jesus Christ has done it.
Yes,
and he's saying, the only thing, the only work is to believe on him who sent him. And if faith, mother, if faith comes today by the hearing, because faith comes by hearing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing today. You'll stop working. And that which you do for your husband or for your father, or whoever it may be, will be out of love. You see, all of these people, they struggled with this. They wanted to follow him, but they didn't know how. How do we do your works? How do I do this? And this village today is asking the same question, although you're not asking it out loud. Because you're thinking it's so impossible. Husbands, maybe you say, if you knew my wife, then you would agree that it is impossible. But now let me say something. Mama, listen. Does Jesus Christ, he has a bride, a wife. Will Jesus Christ ever say, well, my bride, if you knew my bride, you would say no. It's impossible. Would Jesus Christ kick his bride out?
But
his bride only deserves to be kicked out.
But do you know
what is the
difference?
Grace.
Chisomo.
Mercy.
Chifundo.
Forgiveness. And nothing is impossible if you see Christ by faith today. If you receive the gift of grace into your heart today, nothing will be impossible. The works of God is to believe in Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Then to live a life with him. To do things for him. With him. You see, for these people, they didn't understand that Jesus Christ was only coming on earth for a short time. And they didn't understand that although he fed them for their stomach, he actually came to feed their soul. And yes, it is so that when you come together here every Sunday, it's good to come to sing and to pray. But that's not going to save you. It's not going to free you. And you have to agree with me because you recognize it. It's not going to free you. What's going to free you? Only the blood of Jesus Christ is going to free you. Only the forgiveness of Jesus in Jesus Christ is going to free you. The righteousness of Christ is given freely to those who come and receive it.
Here's
our only way, our only truth, our only life. As we stand here today, and your heart is so convicted, we commend you to him. Because he says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And believing on him is taking hold of him. Which means you have to let go of something. If you take hold of someone, you have to let go of something else. What do you have to let go of? Yourself. Self-denial. No more my church going is going to save me. No more my Bible reading is going to save me. No more my prayers is going to save
me.
Though those were all things to lead you to the truth, letting go of all of that and taking hold of Jesus will now bring you into the kingdom of God in your heart. Then what? Then what will happen? Then you're going to come to church again. You're going to sing. But now the singing is from your heart. Why? Because there's peace. And there's rest. Now prayer is coming from your heart. And then what? When the Bible is open and the pastor is teaching, then you say, give me more. No more looking at the time. Are we almost finished? But you say, 2 hours is not enough to talk about my Jesus. My Savior. My Master. My love. Because one hug or embrace from Him is sweeter and more lively than to be embraced from the things of this world all my life. Mothers, fathers, one kiss from the lips of Jesus Christ is sweeter than all of the wine in the world. When he speaks to your soul out of this word, then Solomon says this: this is the voice of my beloved. See, he comes skipping over the hills and leaping over the mountains. He is altogether lovely. He is my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He takes me, the poor vile sinner, into his house of wine. Then it's fathers, then it's no more drunkenness on the streets, but then you're drunk in the love of Christ. And so his word comes to you today. From the youngest to the oldest. And he says, this is the work of God, that ye believe in him whom he've sent. That you believe in God, Christ's Father. And that you believe in him who has sent Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ to draw you to the Father. So you have a new father, new husband, and it's heavenly. And it's glorious. My friends, what do you say? What is your heart testifying of today? Are you like this multitude who were drawn to the gospel or to Jesus Christ because of the bread that they were filled with? Or today, has the gospel pierced your heart? With that question, I've been so long coming to church here, and I've never been restful. Every week I'm still restless. And on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday I call out to the Lord and I said, how do I be like you? How do I do your will, O Father? And How do I be a little bit like you, Jesus? Because every time I find someone different in me, and while I'm singing, I look okay and I feel okay. But all week long, I feel like a wretch. And Satan's plaguing me from all sides. He's saying, do it, do it, do it. Then he comes back and starts laughing and says, you did it, you did it, you did it. And Jesus Christ comes through his gospel. And says, whoever believes on me will have everlasting life. Whoever eats of me eats eternally. I am the bread of life. Don't be filled for a day. Be filled for eternity. Believe on Jesus Christ. Because the gospel comes to you today. And the gospel is not a mind game. The gospel is not psychologically. The gospel is like an arrow. And it pierces your rebellious heart. And it kills you. So that you may be alive in with Jesus Christ. A mystery our mind can't understand. But God give today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would believe in him who sent Jesus Christ, for that is the work of God.
Amen.
Amen.